It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Ivanka Trump announces that she's going to close her failing fashion business and focus on her day job as White House advisor. It's really hard to look at that sentence and decide which is the worst part, where it really goes wrong. You've got Ivanka Trump, who's running her business out of the White House, violating the Emoluments Clause of the United States Constitution, the Hatch Act, blatantly self-dealing as are other people within the administration, and is offshoring jobs to save money to other parts of the world while going around America and telling American companies to hire American. And yet, she can't make a go of her business. She's really a Trump. Thank God she's not going to be doing that anymore, and she's just going to be a White House advisor. Anyway, we're going to keep our day job here at Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us. And welcome to our no longer mute producer, Damian Hardeen.
Hey.
Damian, I hope you've been tidying up around the house.
Yeah, why do you ask?
We're getting a visitor. You know, we're getting a visitor, and you want everything to be looking as nice as it can possibly look.
Talk about rolling out the old red carpet.
The red carpet, yes, for our red. We'll let that one sink in for a moment. For our visit by Vladimir Putin, our new bestie.
Yeah, I think wasn't it John Bolton that came out recently and said that maybe it's not such a good idea to have Putin come by until after, quote unquote, the witch hunt is over. So now I guess maybe that's on the back burner, but even for that to be considered as something that they were going to do was ugh.
Give Bolton credit, I suppose, for being able to take something so disgraceful as doing this, something that has taken every Trump advisor, the picture of Dan Coats, the head of national intelligence, on whatever show he was on and being informed the president had just announced that, and his reaction was basically priceless. Now, remember, Dan Coats is a Trumpster, was put into his position by Donald Trump. And look at his reaction when he's told that Trump, against the wishes of all of his advisors, staff, military people, experts, diplomats, whoever's left, has decided to invite the boss home for dinner. It's almost comical. At least Bolton manages to turn it around and make it a problem because of Mueller, not because Trump was crazy. But this is, you know, this is an interesting time to be inviting the boss home. We really better be tidying up and looking good because he may not be in a good mood. Around the time that we're speaking this week, the Secretary of State of the United States, Mike Pompeo, is testifying to the United States Senate with alleged proof that Trump, the president of the United States, is not a Russian tool. Again, just let that bounce around your brain for a moment. The Secretary of State of the United States is in front of the United States Senate trying to assuage everybody's concern about the fact that the president of the United States is blatantly a tool of a hostile foreign power.
And just then, it's like you have to get images of the people. Let's say if your mind is broken down, you're a fly on the wall in some way of everybody across the nation. The vast majority of people who are able to see what's going on as far as this explanation coming from Pompeo is seeing right through it. But yet there's gonna be a guy on the couch somewhere. If you're Trump, he's probably a 400-pound guy somewhere. But there's a guy on a couch somewhere who's thinking, yeah. Go ahead and tell me more about why this meeting in Finland made any sort of sense. Tell me what to think.
And they will certainly oblige. The person will turn on Fox News, right-wing radio. You know, it's been sort of interesting with the meeting with Putin. Even Fox News apparently was taken off guard by that one.
I was taken off guard by Fox News being taken off guard.
But it sounds like they've kind of rallied the troops. They figured out how it is that they could try to spin this to make this okay. So Fox News is once again firmly in the corner of the President of the United States, basically prostrating himself and at the feet of the autocratic, authoritarian, dictatorial president, quote unquote, of Russia, was actually fine.
It's almost like you just have a wheel with the most outrageous things that you could spin, and Fox News will just go ahead and let it rip. And then whatever it lands on, that's what they're going to go with for that week.
Well, so and now we've got the latest that they're spinning, this Carter page. This has been fun. We talked about this a little bit before. DOJ report came out about Carter Page and the investigation of Carter Page. It basically underscored and emphasized everything that the Democrats have been saying, everything the Democrats and Senate said. In fact, the report that they had done that countered the Nunes memo on from the House, the whitewashing by the House Lack of Intelligence Committee. Everything was that the Democrats said was supported. So, of course, Trump and presumably Fox News just came out and said, see, this just proves we were right all along.
Yeah, it's like saying, hey, we've been trying to tell you that the sky is, I don't know, fuchsia for the longest time. And though the reports came out and said that it's actually white, I mean, or blue if you live in a fact-based world, then see, we're right. It is actually fuchsia. It's almost like the explanation. They expect you to be so stupid, and this is where I'm trying to hear people say, how stupid are they expecting you to be? But they're expecting you to be so stupid as to say, ignore all the facts that are coming out about this. When the facts were actually there to begin with, all they had to do was really reinvestigate it. And whatever they come up with is just in stark contrast to whatever reality is. In this case, it's a complete 180. It's the opposite of what the facts are with regards to this and what Nunes was reporting.
Well, we've been citing the famous Groucho Marx quip, "Who are you going to believe, me or your own lying eyes?" And it's never been this blatant. It is basically the President of the United States, we're going to get to in a few minutes, but basically came out and said that. Who are you going to believe, me or your own lying eyes? And of course, millions and millions and millions of Trump supporters said, well, you, of course.
And we really have to understand that what's going on here is that they're saying, your only reason to believe Trump is because he says so. I mean, think about that. You've got all these facts that are coming out that go ahead and explain just about everything. All the evidence is pointing to one solid theory that we get more and more facts that seem to prove that theory, the Russian collusion and conspiracy. And the only source of pushback that people are willing to listen to, if you're on the Trump train, is what he says. There's nothing that's supporting it except for him and Fox News, of course, and Michael Savage and Rush Limbaugh and Alex Jones and the rest of the conservative clown car. All you have to go on is what this person is saying. So at what point is it going to register in somebody's head that says, okay, well, we're only listening to these things, but we're going to keep ignoring the facts. So they're counting on you to be that ignorant.
Well, okay, to be fair, these are people with an extraordinary respect for the presidency of the United States of America. You know, remember when there was that minor flap for a little while about Obama's birth certificate and where he was born? And do you remember that some people said he's not a legitimate president, he wasn't really born in America? And Obama said, yeah, I was born in Hawaii. And the right said, oh, okay, that ends that then. That puts that baby to rest.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah, it's a lot of respect for the,
you know, I remember that when I was flying through the air, about 40 feet off the ground.
Unaided by or anything else.
I think I was fighting this monstrous alien at some point. That was either a dream or some sort of weird reality. But
or before you gave up drinking.
Or before I gave up drinking.
Which not a lot of people have done during the Trump administration.
But a hell of a lot of people have taken up drinking.
I think there are a lot of vows from people saying, whatever habit this is, I will give it up as soon as Trump is no longer the president and we have a normal president. You know, we've been talking for a while about, obviously we're developing these themes. We've developed these themes for a long time. The extraordinary misinformation, the propaganda machine, people's willingness to believe whatever they're told, the cultism even, that I think is, you think as well, has basically taken over the Republican Party and has really for a long time. I want to get into that by actually talking about what I heard a Trump supporter talking about recently on NPR. And I'm afraid I forget what show it was. I think it was on my evening drive home, so it may have been All Things Considered. But at some show, they were talking about electoral politics and, of course, what's been going on in Wisconsin. They were particularly focusing on Wisconsin. And we've talked about this a lot, the gerrymandering, the Gilvey-Whitford case, that basically democracy has been completely gerrymandered away from the state of Wisconsin. And in their state legislature, Democrats win a majority of votes and Republicans have 60-something percent of the seats. And this is the way it normally happens. We've talked about the money that's been flowing into Wisconsin, billions of dollars outside the state, Koch brothers money, related right-wing propagandist money, flowing from outside Wisconsin into the state to try to turn the state red and what impact that has had. And at one point, a guy called in, Trump supporter apparently, called in and was responding to the discussion about the lack of democracy, basically the spoiling of democracy in Wisconsin, the undermining of democracy in Wisconsin. And the caller, it was fascinating, and I just want to go over a couple of things that the caller said. First of all, when pointing out that Democrats keep getting more votes and Republicans keep getting more seats because of how gerrymandered it is, he specifically said, we don't have that kind of democracy. A 60% to 40% vote doesn't necessarily mean that you're in the majority. And I listen to that, of course, and I think, we don't have that kind of democracy. Do you know what they call that kind of a democracy, where if you win the vote by 60% to 40%, you get a majority? Do you know what they call that kind of democracy? There's a word for it. Starts with a D. It's democracy. Yes, it's called democracy. It's not that kind of democracy. It's democracy. Okay, what you call the kind of democracy where the party that loses the vote repeatedly and loses it really badly keeps governing, what you call that is not democracy. And that is what this guy would call it as well. Is there anybody out there who wants to argue that if it wasn't the other way around, or if it was the other way around, Republicans kept winning votes in Wisconsin, but the state had been so gerrymandered by Democrats and the amount of money, whatever it was, had made the state safely in Democratic hands despite Republican votes. Does anybody out there want to argue that this guy would not be taking up his guns and looking to shoot people?
Yeah, but this is a great example of what the right has been peddling. See, every once in a while I like to go ahead and I listen to what folks are saying, because I at the heart of it, I like to understand what's motivating people, what's getting into their thoughts. So the narrative that's coming out from conservative media has a lot to do with this thing here. And those of you who have been active on social media or pay attention to politics, this is going to sound very familiar to you. So a lot of what one of the big stories that the right has been going with, one of their main narratives is that, oh, we're not a democracy, we're actually a republic. And then what's always strange to me is that nobody on social media really goes ahead and tackles that, because we're not actually a republic where something like the Electoral College would count. we're actually a we're a split between a democracy and a republic. The way it's actually outlined is that we are a constitutional democracy. That is the most accurate description. But beware, the folks who are telling you that we're not a democracy, considering all the influence that Russia has had on our politics as of late, doesn't that sound like exactly the kind of narrative that Putin might want to advance and spread into our society? No, America. You guys, you're not actually a democracy. Go ahead and put that to rest. And this plays out on a big stage as well, because if we're the leaders of democracy in the world, if we cease to continue to call ourselves a democracy and we step away from that sort of ownership, then we essentially step away from the ownership of being one of the fighters for democracy throughout the world. And who does that benefit? Putin.
Well, we've already seen the huge impact of that the United States is not in a position anymore to argue in favor of democracy or representative democracy as we have. You know, even with a representative democracy, the choosing of the representatives is supposed to be democratic. That's where the democracy part comes in. There's still supposed to be some impact of winning more votes in an election, even if it is a representative democracy. And the fact that we are now not in a position to lead, to be a beacon for the world when it comes to representative government, we may already be seeing the implications of that around the world.
A lot of people have been talking about how democracy dies. We've heard that phrase a lot. That just seems to be a very common sense correlation. If you step away from democracy and the principles of democracy, and even just the terminology of democracy, that's a very valid way for how democracy can die, or at least diminish in our corner of the world.
And I remember clearly Natalie Portman making just that argument in the third Star Wars movie.
Right. Any Jedi's out there?
This is how democracy dies, with a whimper? I don't remember what the line was. Yeah. Anyway, here, I think, the idea, just the remarkable thing about winning, we've talked about this. We've talked about a party whose leaders don't have any values anymore. We've been building on this the last few weeks. That this is a party right now that just cares about winning, that doesn't seem to believe in anything, have a value, democracy, anything like that. It just wants to win. And now we see that it is absolutely filtered down to its voters. Here's, and I don't think it's the same. I saw what happened in 2000, where Republican supporters absolutely were standing up to help Bush steal an election. And the fact is, it would not have worked the opposite way. Sure, we all manage to have a certain amount of confirmation bias. We all have the ability to convince ourselves to believe what it is in our interest to believe. But there's a point. And sorry, I just don't think there are many liberals out there who would be standing up or liberal voters out there who would be standing up and saying, well, whatever, we keep losing the elections, but we keep winning, so stop your whining. So, you know, that's just the way it is. Because it's a problem. I mean, it's clearly a serious problem with this country that there is no representation. And basically the people in power get to steal whatever they want. And so there is a difference, not only, I think, among the Republican leadership, but now, as we've been talking, the tail wagging the dog often, the Republican base that is just absolutely like their leadership, reflecting their leadership and the ability to just put their own interests ahead of everything, including reality. Another thing that this guy had said that I wanted to talk about a little bit, he says, you know, this is all happening, the Trump thing, there's all this backlash, only because government is too big, is so much too big.
That explains that quote by the Natalie Portman character, which said that democracy dies in thunderous applause.
Ah, that's it, thunderous applause. That was the term, thunderous applause. Thanks for that. This is a Republican bumper sticker since basically I was born, and that was a fairly long time ago. Government is too big. You know what was the feel good story of the year? And when I say the feel good story of the year, I mean there may have only been one feel good story of this year, and it just sort of happened a week or two ago. And that's the Thai soccer kids, right? The rescue of all those kids in Thailand. And I'm reading about the rescue and what was done and the Navy SEALs that were getting this accomplished. And I think of Ronald Reagan almost a half a century ago saying the nine most terrifying words in the English language, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And I've said this before on the show, screw you, Gipper. That is so offensive. You know, I hope that the first scuba diver that found those kids didn't say, I'm a Navy SEAL or I'm from the government, because you wouldn't want to scare those kids like that. This whole antipathy to the very idea of government, where does it come from? This idea that government can't do anything right, this idea of incompetence. Bear in mind that I teach for a public university, so I am, technically speaking, a government worker. And so when I get these emails, and I get emails forwarded by intelligent friends making fun of how bad government workers are, and I sometimes write back, and I've had some time not talking to my friends for a little while because of this, I write back and I say, first of all, you realize you sent that to a government worker, right? One who thinks he's actually pretty damn efficient and a pretty good buy for the money that I'm paid by my employer, the City University of New York. But then I say, and, you know, as a government worker, I have enough sense not to send such a stupid and offensive email to one of my friends who's a government worker. Unlike, I guess, my private worker friends who didn't have a sense to do that. You look at some of the things, I guess, you know, I'm from the government, so I want to ask this guy, and unfortunately, I didn't get to, where do you think government is too big? Do you agree? There's a basis for agreement, I guess, between the left and the right. A lot of Democrats are now calling for eliminating ICE, right? Immigration Customs Enforcement. Most people don't realize it was just created in the aftermath of 9/11 when we thought that we were under this vicious terrorism threat. We existed for 200 years without it. We really don't need it. We have other agencies that can do it. So there is a plausible movement right now to get rid of ICE, which is a real renegade agency. Not according to Trump, but according to the actual facts. So he must agree, I guess, we should be getting rid of ICE because that's government. Does he think we should be getting rid of the police? Does he think that, I don't know, maybe he doesn't send his kids to public school. Does he think that we should have more children in a public school class? Does he get the sense in America right now that the problem is we spend too much on education? We have too many teachers. We spend too much on schools.
Perhaps he likes his meat with rat feces.
Perhaps, yeah, does he really think when it comes down to it, and I know in the abstract, oh, we have all these ridiculous regulations. Does he really want to go back to the point where he could be eating meat with rat feces in it?
You see, that's what we're looking at, though, because, you know, I saw this, I guess Trump does this a lot. He stands in front of a podium like he's running for president. I guess even he doesn't believe that he's really president right now. But he speaks to his base, and he says, and we're getting rid of regulations, and they cheer. And yet none of them would even stop to think that, hey, regulations are not like this thing that just kind of entered the door and crashed the party. It took years of things going wrong for regulations to have been put in place to protect consumers, to protect people in general. Things like consumer protections, things like what we just talked about, like rat feces on meat, which was an actual big problem. Things like what we see right now with Flint, Michigan, with
good news,
lead and
kid,
water.
Less government, more lead.
Right, right. Exactly. Right. And things like that have come to fruition only because things went so terribly wrong. It's like saying, it's like applying a blanket statement that says, let's get rid of all these regulations, because you hear it over and over again if you come up in a conservative family or a conservative town. Let's get rid of all these regulations, but do you stop to think, where did they come from? Why do we have them? And that would be a question I would love to pose to a Trump supporter.
Well, look at just, again, sort of before we go to air this week, that in the news, our secretary of companies that make a huge profit in education, Betsy DeVos, just came out with proposals to reduce the ability of students who have been defrauded by student loan companies and colleges to sue. And they've already announced that they're going to be rolling back regulations on for-profit college scams and loan scams. So there you go. You're going to really enjoy it when your child takes out a loan and gets you and your family in debt for the rest of your lives to go to a crappy for-profit college that doesn't do the job. I just want someone to follow up on these things and say, okay, government is so much too big. Can you give me some examples of what you'd like to see gone? Because it sure doesn't seem to me that we've been spending too much, for instance, on infrastructure in this country and on education and on preparing for our future. So I'd love to know, of course, yeah, I guess we don't need to protect endangered species. That's one on the menu that's just come out right now. We're going to be changing. How do they rule it? Streamlining, which means gutting laws protecting endangered species.
It's funny how they word these things and coming up with uber American titles for some of these laws. Like recently, John Goodman came out at a baseball game. I think it was a Cardinals baseball game. Basically, telling folks that law that they were. That the name slips by right now, but it's a really good example of one of these things where they go ahead and tell you that, well, you have the right to work. I think that's kind of in the title, but you have the Right to Work Act or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, right. There are different right to work laws. They're being enacted throughout the states. This is what's been setting the stage for destroying labor unions.
Right, and basically it sounds like a great thing to say. It sounds like, hey, who wouldn't get behind the right to work? Like, what kind of lazy SOB are you that you're not going to support the right to work? Come on, America, the right to work. But yet, when John Goodman came out with this publicly, it stirred a little bit of a controversy, but it also got some people thinking because, you know, he did it in his home state of Missouri. And he actually came out and said, hey, this is probably not a good thing, because what it basically says is that you don't have to go ahead and support unions, but you can go ahead and reap the benefits. And you've talked a lot about this.
It's going to be the end of unions, which was the goal all along, to change them, because everything's going to go back to this issue of money and more for the people who have a lot. And unions level the playing field when it comes to bargaining between employer and employee, and that's what the employers don't want, which we'll get back to in a little bit. But you know, you touch upon this issue again of the bumper stickers, and how when you're speaking to people who don't have a lot of information and don't take a lot of time to think about something or look into the merits of or the details of something, then you just speak in bumper stickers. So government is too big, as you indicated. Some of my favorites are under Bush, the Safe Forests Initiative, which kept forests safe by cutting down the trees, thus preventing forest fires. These are all true, by the way. This is all the work of Frank Luntz, who we've talked about before on the show. You've got the Clear Skies Initiative, which was to allow more pollution.
Wait, but let's briefly talk about that though, because I mean that's listen to what it sounds like. It sounds like something that you would. Well, the way that they would pose it is that you'd have to be an idiot not to back something like this. But just briefly, like, what did those do?
What they did is basically enrich people who get rich by destroying the environment and dumping their stuff onto other people. You know, which fundamentally, when we talk about big government, one of the questions you want to ask, do people have the obligation to clean up after themselves? You sort of want to ask, when we're reading all this stuff about the environment, you're reading about the endangered species, can we have a conversation here? Do people have an obligation to clean up after themselves? If you go to a public park and you have a picnic, is it reasonable for your fellow citizens to expect you to clean up after yourself? And the answer, I would assume from everybody, is of course. You don't have a right to despoil everybody else's environment. You clean up after yourself. Well, that's what's at issue here. Corporate America doesn't believe in cleaning up after itself. It believes that it should have the little people pay for the cleanups or not to get cleaned up or pay the harm for whatever they're doing. It's just a question of you don't have to clean up after yourself. You don't have to take care of yourself. Does anybody think that we do not have an obligation as stewards of the planet to leave for our children a planet similar to that which we inherited? You really want to make the argument that we owe nothing to future generations? We owe nothing to our children and our grandchildren, that we should just be able to destroy the planet? Because this is what we're talking about.
And it's just about money, because they get to save millions, arguably billions of dollars in not having to invest in responsible cleanup. And I'm talking about the corporations and especially businesses that leave a bigger footprint than others. And this is one of the reasons why they'll go ahead and they'll back and they'll pocket politicians if they can go ahead and look the other way and repeal a lot of these things. And I really don't think that this is common knowledge to a lot of people, that the reason, the motive why a lot of these corporations do get involved is because they get to save a lot of money on the back end once their politicians start rolling back a lot of the regulations that cost them money.
It's sort of remarkable the extent to which this, just speaking in bumper stickers, just works for people to convince them that they, in effect, could be cannon fodder. That it's you just throw out these lines, and people who don't pay attention listen to this and think, yeah, that's a great thing. The companies are picking their pockets as we go, making people sicker, making them pay for stuff that they shouldn't have to pay for, and we're signing up for this. Why? Because government, big government, sounds great on a bumper sticker, like all this stuff. So much of what was in this guy then talked about federalism and states' rights. This is a states' rights issue. We've talked about this a lot. Republicans don't believe in states' rights. They believe in states' rights when it comes to opposing civil rights and when it comes to preventing any kind of regulation against corporations, which, for the most part, being left up to the states, states cannot regulate big corporations. Only the federal government has the ability to regulate big corporations that have the wherewithal to get states and municipalities into local bidding wars. Apropos of federalism, just recently, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are suing the federal government over the tax bill on an issue that basically anti-federalism. It takes away states' rights because of the tax bill basically punishes people for paying, or states that have local taxes, that in effect it is federalizing state taxes. Does the Trump administration care? No, because there's no principle there. It's just whatever wins and whatever gets ahead. This kind of stuff works in part because, as we've talked before, the remarkable cultism in the Republican Party. And I think this stems from people, I guess, who are afraid, who are looking for something better, and yet who don't have the interest or the ability to get informed enough to make good decisions. So they put their faith in the cult leader. And then whatever the cult leader says is fine. And this is why we're talking before. The president of the United States just came out and said, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening. Now, sure, he's arguing that the media is manipulating it, but basically you have the president of the United States saying the Groucho line. Groucho said it is a joke. The president of the United States isn't, and they're lapping it up. Don't believe what you're seeing and what you're reading. Who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? And the cultists believe him. Did you read this in the Times this week? Trump was outraged because CNN was on, I guess it was Melania's TV on Air Force One at one point. The article notes that Trump, quote, rages against reality. And that's really where we are. They are raging against reality. And their adherents, the cultists, are absolutely gobbling it up. And how do you know that that happens? Well, when you believe A one day, and then the next day you reject A for B simply because the leader has changed his tune, that's the sign of a cult. So child detention, most Republicans were fine with it when Trump was doing it. When Trump said he's not going to do it, they were all against it. Like that. Nothing changed. Budget deficits. They're consistent, I suppose. Every time there's a Democratic president, they hate budget deficits. But as soon as there's a Republican president who tells them the deficits don't matter, sure, fine. Forget what I've been ranting and screaming and yelling for the last 8 years. The cult leader now says it's okay, so it's okay. The economy. When did the economy in this country turn around? Well, according to Trump supporters, it was the day he was inaugurated. The same numbers suddenly became good when before they were bad.
And we had a trend that they were trending in the same direction in a very positive direction.
Everything exactly the same, still continuing to move in the same direction, but it wasn't even that complicated where you say, okay, now Trump's been president for a year, and it's the same damn numbers that we had under Obama, except now he's starting to screw everything up.
But it is a smart tactic by him, though, because he gets to claim, hey, it doesn't matter about all this collusion stuff. The economy is doing great. Like we're supposed to turn a blind eye to the most important thing. Sorry, folks, the economy is not the most important thing. Besides, a lot of people that I know are really not seeing the effects of a great economy. And think about that for a second. But I just want to backtrack to why education is so important. What you just said was that a lot of these folks have, well, they turn their tune whenever the Supreme Leader says otherwise, and they change their ground. And this is a big basis off of a principle from Plato that he covers in Plato's Republic, using Socrates, of course. And many of you have probably
available
read this
on Amazon Books.
Which Trump wouldn't want you to
read the Republic or buying the Republic.
Right. But it basically says, and you can apply this to anything, if you have to keep changing the ground that you're on, the premise that you're on, chances are you're on faulty premises to begin with. If you have to keep changing your, not so much changing your mind, but changing, let's say your ground on something that you stood firm on, then chances are what you were talking about really, it was faulty. And this is exactly what we see happening here, where the ground is so faulty that you have to scramble. If you're Trump, you have to scramble to just piece things together almost day by day and really rely on people to have the memories of a goldfish, as to not remember what we yelled and railed about before, but just to go with whatever's going on now. Parents, your children are looking at you, if you're Trump supporters, your children are looking at you and saying, what are you doing?
Let's hope.
I mean,
if there's hope for this country, that's what the children are doing.
But what else is there going to be, though? Their children are just going to, if they take the president's example, because people are watching, of course, if they take the president's example, when they try to do this stuff on their own, they're going to find themselves in a basket off to the side somewhere in society.
Well, this is sort of the big question, what we've been talking about. You know, people have talked from the very beginning that Trump would have an issue with the fact that he basically was a transactional president, that he was elected to accomplish certain things. And what happens when he doesn't accomplish them? What happens? You mentioned the economy. What happens when people who are not seeing the beneficial, the effects of the improving economy, or so-called effects that Trump was promising them, what was going to happen when they don't see those effects? And the Republicans have a solution to that. They know that they're not actually going to accomplish anything. It's become perfectly clear that they're not going to improve the lives of anybody except for very wealthy people, and that's been the goal all along.
Because it's profitable.
Because that's what it's all about. That's, you know, we talked about with the tax bill, our big donors are demanding it. It's a stupid freaking bill, but our big donors. I mean, some of them are pretty blatant about what they're doing. But we now have a question. Basically, an emperor has no clothes for millions of people around America, where they're not going to see any benefits to them for themselves and their family economically, and the Trump administration is going to tell them, well, you're not looking in the right places because you are benefiting, and the question is going to be whether reality or fantasy wins out. There's another article with Ohio workers who are feeling the effects of the Trump trade war and are losing money, losing jobs, et cetera. And so far, they're absolutely on board. Now, some of them say it's worth it. I give them credit for saying that my positions are principled. They're not just about what's in my own best interests, if people are actually saying that. But you really wonder how many of them say, well, things are really much better. Even though I don't currently have a job right now, because things are so much better, it's going to be good. It's just, reality is just going to lose. There's so much more that we need to talk about with the assault on reality and what that means. just in the last few days. I mean, for Trump to just blatantly come out and lie about his meeting with Vladimir Putin, for them to come out after the fact and say, well, what can we do to try to clean this up and just totally change our story? And they just change our story and people just believe it. He comes out and lies about the North Korea meeting, about what happened. They just make stuff up and people follow it. And they just figure that they could just keep saying it. The media tends at some point to go along. Trump attacks NATO. He lied about what he supposedly said to Theresa May when he was attacking NATO, and they had tapes. They had a video of it, and it didn't matter. He just kept lying about it, even after the tapes were out. And it seems to be working because his approval ratings are great. The capacity of people to allow themselves to be lied to want to be lied to, is extraordinary. And when it comes to the people doing the lying, and this is what we'll build upon next week, it's all about one thing. It is all about the big grand theft government, grand theft money. It's all about money and power, and that's all that they really care about. And in that sense, it's liberating. They will lie to their people. They will lie to everybody. They will change their story as the day goes, because there's no principle. No matter how many American flags they put up outside their houses, they don't believe in America. They don't believe in patriotism. They don't believe in anything that supposedly is good for society that we have. They just want more. And that will bring us back to the tax bill, because more information comes out about that every day. And it brings us back to the Supreme Court nominee and why they are filling their courts. Brett Kavanaugh is on the court for one reason, and that is because he's going to vote to give more and more and more money to corporate America and take it away from everybody else. Anyway, we will build on that and other stuff in future weeks. That's the show for today. We hope you enjoyed, and thanks as always for listening. Don't forget to look us up and listen to us on Spotify and on iTunes. Please be sure to download us, like us, subscribe to us where you can. Please still watch us on YouTube, although we're primarily in audio format right now. There's still stuff to see on YouTube. Go to our website. Please get involved, subscribe, share us with your friends. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.